Amen. God is good. I can tell I don't like this already. I never know where I'm going to be in this service. Most of the time, I just like to be with the people. Amen. Right up in your face. That's how I've always been. That's probably how I'll always be. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. And pastor is right. You know, so many people, they want to see God move. They want their loved one to come in here and sit down. But see, your worst enemy can't come in here and sit down. See, God wants a people that's going to say, I'll love whoever comes up in here. See, that is the word of God. See, I've prepared my heart for a year, Brother Josh, for my enemy to come up here and sit. Because, see, I have a problem. But you know what? God is here to help everybody. God is accepting of every person that will walk through here. This church was established in 1987 when I was 2 years old. Stephanie, I have heard the same thing for 31 years. Kelly, we will love whoever walks through that door. Don't you sniffle your nose at somebody. Don't you raise your... Don't do that. You see, kiss, that ain't God. God is on the throne. God is here to heal. God is here to deliver. God is here to break every spirit of addiction. And you know what? You don't get to pick and choose. So hey, say amen to a living God, because we're going to have some church in here today. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. And we're going to see here that it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There's too many of God's children walking in the counsel of the wicked. It's time to be who you say you are on every day except for Sunday. See, Sunday's a given. Sunday is a given. Be who you say you are every single day. And you know what? Sunday is just a given. You better get it right on Sunday, because that's when you have your show. Let's talk about Monday through Saturday. Yes. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. There's too many people saying, I'm a child of God, and they're standing in the way of sinners. And they're wondering why their life has turned to absolute heck. Because, see, you're standing in the way of a sinner. Get out of the way. Get out of the way so God can touch the heart of that sinner. See, you want God to move? You want God to heal your family? You want God to touch that loved one? Get out of their way in Jesus' name. See, you're up in their way. God can't heal them. God can't move on them, because, see, their mama's in their way. Their brother's in their way. You know what? Move out of the way of the living God, because, see, God's got stuff to talk to people about today. Amen. And you know what? There's too many people that are numb to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I'll pierce through the very marrow. I'll pierce through the bones. I'll cut through all the crap. Because you know what? The world will fill you full of it. But see, God is here today to deliver. Now, I'm not just going to pick on Brother Josh, because I love Brother Josh. I don't got a beef with him. Because you know what? Stuff rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. If you want your loved one to come through those doors and sit down and meet the Lord for the first time, to keep it real, for the first time, you better be able to put your arms around your enemy. Because see, the devil is here to cause confusion. But you know what? The anointing will break the yoke every single time. Praise the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. I'm here to ask you today, what are you planted by? A bunch of doubt and unbelief? A bunch of confusion? See, you're planting yourself by something. Every move that you make, every compromise that you make, you're planting your life by something. What is it? Too many people playing games that says, I'm a child of God, and you're not a child of nothing because you're playing games. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. See, I know people that whatever they do prospers. I also know people, everything they touch, Miss Mary, goes through their hands. Because, see, God is not with people that are playing church, that are playing God, that are playing this game on Sunday. See, it ain't a game. It's your life. God knows your game. God knows your shenanigans. He knows it all.
Yes, He does.
And it says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The title of this message today is, Are You Righteous or Are You Wicked? Because see, you're either one or you're the other. You best make that decision who you are today, because tomorrow is not promised to any single person. See, it's time to live that life of uprightness. I've lived every day for a long time, Brother Mike, saying, God, don't take me home today. God, I would die and I would go to hell because I'm still hating on my enemy. But Stephanie, in the last 2 or 3 months, man, God got a hold of me the other day. I was thinking about calling my enemy, and I thought, oh my God, you're not serious, are you? I almost was agreeing. There'll be a day where the stars align just perfectly and he'll get me into submission and I'll do it. But see, who are you today? Are you righteous or are you wicked? I know that's blunt. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 2. And I think this is the ESV version, and I like how this talks. It says, treasures of wickedness and ill-gotten gains do not profit. But see, you can have some treasures and the little bit of wickedness that you do, but hey, all that treasure that you got through wickedness and your wicked ways, it's all going to go through your hands, because see, God can't bless what he didn't give you. If you've taken on something that God didn't say you get, God didn't say you whatever, it's leaving. See, every idol that you put up in God's place, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a bad business deal that you've done, whether it's an addiction, every idol that you put up there in the Lord, the living God's place, it is leaving. Because see, ain't nobody going to sit in God's seat. Right. You ever been to pastors? Don't you dare sit in his seat. He'll get you. When he's gone, I sit in there just to see how it feels. But by golly, when I even hear that he is coming down the driveway, I get up out of there. See, ain't nobody going to sit in the Lord's seat. And it says, treasures of wickedness and ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness and moral integrity in daily life rescues. Daily life. See, people, they don't know what to do in their daily life because they're reprobate. Because they've done got a seared conscience. They don't know how to behave in an everyday life because, see, they faked it one time too many. See, I had somebody crying on my couch several months back, Kelly, how did I get here? I said, you got there because, see, one compromise at a time. One, God will look the other way. One time too many. See, the devil's coming to your house. See, why does it take catastrophe and tragedy every time to get you to yield to the living God? See, there's people, Aunt Patty, I don't even see until something really horrible has happened to them. See, God's not happy with that. God wants somebody, man, that they love God on the good days, and they certainly love God on the bad days. See, that's the kind of people that God wants. But see, we got to get this thing where it's about a show, whether it's this, whether it's that. See, what are you? Are you righteous today or are you wicked? See, it's an everyday life. What does it say? It says, but integrity in everyday life rescues from death. We've lost our integrity that we're supposed to have in this everyday gig that we got going on. See, there's Christians going around hating, talking bad about their brother and sister in the Lord. You know what? You think that you're the only person that's ever not liked somebody? Get over it. There's a lot of people I don't like, and there's even more people that don't like me. And I know it. Even more of them don't like pastors, so I cut myself a break. I'm just kidding. You know, Thursday I had an experience with the Lord. And see, God wants to speak to you through your everyday life. See, how else is he going to speak to you? He's going to speak to you in your everyday life. And Dad said, Kelly, I'm so sick of talking about them chairs and everything is ugly. I don't like nothing and da 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 da. He said, You find a chair. You call some companies. I'm tired of this. I love to shop. I will do it. Yes. I got on the phone. Divine appointment in your daily life. God has them. He has them poured out. It's called the grace of God. It's called being where you're supposed to be. It's called going to that job that you go to. Going into your daily life. I got on the phone. The guy said, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I thought that was weird because I thought we was talking about chairs. I said, okay, tell me about yourself. And he said, I was at a place for 20 years. I gave them the very best of me. They just let me go like I was nothing to them. He said, I was bitter and I was angry at the things they were able to do to me. He said, I told my wife after I had prayed, after I had fasted, that it could have only been the Lord closing that door. Because I could have never left on good terms. See, if I've said that to my own husband once in the past year, I've said it a million times. And the Spirit of God just began to pour itself into me, saying, Kelly, see, this is where I want you to be. I want you to preach off of the platform where you've already been. See, there's people, we think that this certain little situation, this thing that's done, took its place in our life, see, that it's done, See, no, that's what you're going to minister off of. You can help people. I felt like, Brenda, I was listening to a version of myself that I wanted to be. He said, you know what, Kelly? To God be the glory for the things that He's done. He closed that door, the door that God closes, nobody can open. But let me tell you something, the doors that God opens, there is no person that can close them. But you got to stop being mad at God for the things that He closes. You got to stop that. You see, He wants to bring you something better. He said, Kelly, what I've got going on is so much better. He said, but you know what? It took me realizing that it was God that shut that door. And I mean, I tell you what, man, I was so moved Thursday, I couldn't talk after that for about an hour. But you know what? God is here for His people. He loves His people. But you know what? You got to get off of this gig where you're making believe here and you think that everything is going to be perfect in your life because you saved. It ain't. We will have trials and we will have tribulation, but He has overcome everything. He will make you overcome it. Yes. One compromise at a time is going to bring catastrophe right to your doorstep. One compromise at a time is going to bring tragedy upon you. I got one amen on that, and that was Pastor. I'll take it. Thank you. See, quit compromising and thinking that that's slipping through and God's allowing it. No, see, everybody's got an appointed time. See, God is going to mess with some things. God will intervene at the very right moment. See, you ain't getting nothing by God. I hope you're living how you're supposed to be living besides on Sunday. Stephanie, there was a long period in my life where I wasn't. Boy, when the Lord put the brakes on that situation, I'm still reeling because I'm sitting here going, am I okay now? Is there anything else I'm going to have to reap? I hope not. That was uncomfortable. See, got to get your attention. That's what He does. Let me look over my notes. Glory. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 37. And what I've learned, and it's taken me out of every bit of the 33 years that I've been alive to learn it, is that God doesn't bless who you're pretending to be. I tell this to people all the time. You have to give God something that He will bless. Let me say that again for all the people that's sleeping. You got to give something to God that He can bless. See, there's a lot of people, and I've done this myself. I've said, now, God, I'm going to do that thing that you told me to do, but I'm going to do it in my own timing, basically. See, I've postponed doing the thing that I knew was going to please God, the thing that God told me to do, because I think I know it all. I said, God, I'll quit that job when I got just a couple more bills paid off. That's when I'll do it. There, God doesn't even believe in time. There is no time. And there ain't no time like the present. See, God will make a believer out of you. One morning you'll wake up. Bam. That's the day He's going to decide to pick up your case and to begin to mold you just a little bit more. I hope it doesn't take tragedy to make that happen for you. There's too many people reacting to tragedy instead of just pure obedience out to the Lord. When that guy said, I could have never left on good terms, God began to minister to me, Kelly, why did it take you becoming the worst person to get you to do what I told you to do? I was doing some pretty terrible things. And my excuse was, she was doing them to me. Fair game when that happens, right? See, God's done a lot of working on me with my enemy. He's got a lot more left to go. But there's things that I realize about my enemy that I didn't quite realize before. And see, the love that I don't have for them, God is pouring that into me. Now, freely you have received. Freely give. See, you think that you're the keeper of all things good and that you're releasing God's goodness and God's love. See, you're not. You're just the vessel. You won't release that which He gave to you, the forgiveness. How does God forgive you? He just wipes the slate clean and He says, we're going on. I don't even remember what you did. See, and we want to nitpick and be petty and think about all the things that they done did. See, we're holding ourselves up. If I'm preaching to anybody, I'm preaching to myself. I remember a night that I was right before the calm before the storm, I was sitting on my stairs at my staircase in my new house. And see, the house should have made me happy. The children should have made me happy. The husband should have made me happy. The Word of God should have made me happy. There was nothing that made me happy because I was consumed by everything except for the right thing. And I was sitting there crying on the phone because my dad, he's straight up mafia. He wants to know who did it and where they live. But I was beginning to see some things that I had not seen before. And I said, Dad, I want to tell you something. If you see my enemy, see, are you wicked or are you righteous? Let's cut all the baloney. See, what are you? Are you wicked or are you righteous? I said, if you see my enemy, I'm begging you not to say nothing. It won't help me. I am where I am because of me. So when you see my enemy, I'm asking you not to say anything. Because see, I did that. Dad, I'm asking you to just watch me suffer for the part in this that I was wrong. See, it's hard to watch your loved ones suffer. Let me tell you something. That could be the thing that saves their soul. You get out of the way of the sinner. You let the loving, gracious, merciful God, you let Him wrap His arms around them because He can do it better than what you can. But see, we want to protect our loved one. We want to this, we want to that. I get it. You love them. I love my loved ones too. The hardest thing for me has been to not say something to somebody that's hurt my loved one. But you know what? I'm giving God something, Aunt Patty, that He can bless. Because I've served God all of my life. I know that God is coming through. It's not a what if. It's not a will they cooperate. That doesn't matter. Will I do what God's called me to do? Will I shut my big mouth? Will I do it? Most days, I'm getting pretty good. And I said, Dad, I don't ever want you saying something to my enemy, because if you do, I'm going to have to learn this lesson again. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be that person. Let me do it. A couple days ago, I was talking to somebody that I dearly love. And this person began to say, here's where I let the devil in, Kelly. And they began to tell me, Kayla, one of the things that they said, I began to think about that woman that was so terrible to you. And it made me angry. And it made me bitter. And then I thought about the other people that were hurting my other children. And then that made me mad. And it made me bitter. And the Spirit of God started getting all over me. He said, Kelly, you're making everybody that loves you, everybody that gives one ounce of iota about you, everybody that really adores you, you're making them sin by your sin. Every moment that you're walking in unforgiveness, every moment that you're holding that grudge. See, everybody that loves you, see, your life, it really isn't your own. And see, every sin that you decide to take, oh, I'm not giving that up. Mm-mm. See, everybody that loves you suffering. See, when one suffers, you all suffer. That's the thing about this gig. God said, Kelly, you better get that right. When I heard that it was a door because of me, see, it's going to hit home with you. You got to pay attention. You got to stop thinking that that grudge is so important. It ain't important. Stop letting your sin let other people sin. Because you won't do the work that God's called you to do. Because you won't forgive when God's called you to forgive. Because you won't hold back when God's told you to hold back. How easy is it for you to give peace to somebody a piece of your mind? See, God wants you to give them a piece of your heart. You don't like somebody? Love that person. That's a tall order. I'm praying to God that when I get that test, Mama Brenda, I can pass it. Because it ain't going to be pretty if I can't. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. And it says, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, in this particular verse, it's talking about, now don't swear to God you'll do this, or don't swear to this you'll do that. But hey, let's take the Word of God for what it is. Let your yes be yes. See, there's been people that said, God, if you'll come through for me on this little thing right here, I'll do this. And see, you done gone back and you done the things that you said you wouldn't do.
That's right.
Does your Word mean anything when you says, yes, God, I'll do this. Yes, God, I'll forgive. Yes, God, I'll walk away. Does your word mean anything? Does it hold up? I know people, when they tell me they're going to do something, I just count on them. Whatever they said, I'm counting on them doing the opposite. But see, that's not acceptable. You got to be who you say you are. What you say, you got to be. What you say, you need to mean. Because, see, your words have power. The power of life and death is in the tongue. What are you telling yourself? What are you saying to others? All this stuff.
Thank you, God.
Matthew 6 and 24. And it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the other and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Now we know that about the money. I'm not talking about money today. You can't be praising Jesus and living out in the world at the same time, because see, your chickens will come home to roost. And when they do, it's going to be obvious. You got to be who you say you are. Does that mean that you get it on the dot every time? No, it doesn't. See, people think when they mess up, that's a good time to just have a full backslide. Well, I done messed up. Everybody knows it, and I'm embarrassed. What you got to say is, I don't care that I messed up. I care that I'm picking myself up again, and I'm starting again. It's not a defeat when you mess up. It's a defeat when you stay down and you make that your excuse to go on living like that for 5 more years, for 10 more years, missing your children's childhood, missing your family. Your family's hurting because of you. Your loved ones are hurting because of you. The people that their blood will be on your hands because you didn't answer the call, those people. See, who's missing out really because of you? Stephanie, so many times I've said, God, if I missed anybody, forgive me. Lord, help me to make it right. In my own foolishness, in my own wickedness, help me. Lord, I'm asking that nobody go to hell because of me, because I missed it, because I was wrapped up in hating that person so bad. See? Don't be surprised that you have a problem with hatred. Because the devil hates you so bad, he'd love to screw your life up. He'd love to screw anything up that he can for you. Amen. Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 23 through 26. And it says, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. There's been too many people indulging their self. So you really want to come after Jesus? Deny yourself.
Yes.
Deny what you want to do. Stop justifying what you're doing. Stop saying, God will understand. No, God's going to understand that you never did what you said you would do. That you never answered the call. That's what he will understand. And take up his cross daily and follow me. See, it's a daily thing.
Yes, it is.
Not Sunday. You don't even get credit for Sunday. I mean, you do. But let's keep it real. Sunday ain't getting you to heaven. Your life, it is. See, you're either one or the other. You're wicked or you're righteous. Now, what is it? Because, see, your actions and how you are and what you're doing, the writing's on the wall. And it says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. And it goes on and on. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 28. And it says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. And some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now let me tell you something. You will find pleasure in sin for a little bit. We were in recovery meeting a while back, and this young guy said, now, Brother Angelo, you're going to have to come up with something else to tell all the young people. Like he ain't never been young before. You're going to have to come up with something new. See, prophesy to me smooth words. And see, his answer, see, he spoke right. There is nothing new that's under the sun. Amen. There is a thrill in all that sin. There is a thrill in me being mean and hating that person. If I really have a binge day where I'm binging on that type of sin, I still find some sort of enjoyment about it. When I get to badmouth them, I still get enjoyment out of it. Let's keep it real. I'm binging on that less and less. Because what I know, Brother Mike, is this right here. In him we live. In Him we move. And by golly, in Him we have our being. That's it. See, stop thinking that all that sin and all that thrill and all that junk, that's really living. Because it ain't. If what you're doing ain't in Him, ain't for the cause of Him, ain't for the call of Him, you're not really living, you're existing. If you die in that way, you'll go to hell. Now that sounds like a terrible message. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you wake up and pay attention. God doesn't want you to just be in heaven with Him. He wants you to look around, grab all the people you can get, and take them. That's the only thing you can take to heaven. Asher agrees. Amen. Now let's go to Titus, last place for me. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And this is for all the people that think that nobody else can get away with nonsense but them. Because see, you're not getting away with it. All the thrills, all the compromising, all the, well, I had plenty of opportunities to do that and I didn't never do it until now. Well, you still did it. That's like saying I didn't do it on Monday, I did it on Friday. I waited 4 days. Almost doesn't count. You remember that song in the early 90s by Brandy? Almost doesn't count. It ain't counting. See, God, give Him something He can bless. What can He bless? What are you giving Him? Jody, I can't sing worth a flip. That was my best go at it. Verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness." See, some people have to learn how to say no to the ungodly thing that they're doing. See, it's the grace that teaches us how to say no. You catching that? I'm going to say it one more time. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness." Learn to say no. Learn to say no to that. The grace of God, let it be known. Let it come up into your life. See it for what it is. Because see, that's the thing that's teaching you how to say no. So many people get up into recovery and they say, "I don't even know how to say no. I don't know how to stop indulging myself. I'm scared when I get out." The grace is teaching you how to say no. And you know what grace does? Grace is the thing that gives and gives and gives and gives. See, God's shown you grace. Show your enemy grace. God's grace is the thing in your life that He's given over and over and over and over. If you'll let it, it's the thing that's going to teach you how to say no to that thing that you've never gotten a hold of. "And worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly, to live in this present age." See, there's nothing new under the sun. Quit acting like there is. Quit acting like you're so special, you're a one of a kind, and that you have thrills and passions and sins that nobody else has. Get over yourself. You don't think we all want to go on a sin thrill? We do. We've learned to say no a few times. You don't think I don't feel like doing some wild, crazy thing? I sure do. I've learned how to say no. Because you know what? When God's not happy with me, there is nothing else that breaks my heart more than when I know that I have disappointed the living God that's never done anything wrong to me. When I know that, man, I'm a broken, broken person because I hate God to be sad because of me. Amen? And it says, "The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up to redeem us for all the wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own." eager to do what is good. And you know what? God loves you today. God knows right where you're at. God is here to help you today. And the anointing for me just shut off. And when that shuts off in me, that is time to bring Pastor back. Let's welcome him back up here.
Praise God for the truth. And the question remains, how many more years will you give to failure? How many more years will you give to less than God's best? Your answer will determine how much more you will hurt the people around you. It's a matter of making a choice. And when the sun starts going down, reaffirm that choice. When you go to bed, reaffirm that choice. When you wake up in the morning, reaffirm that choice. If you make a mistake, shake yourself and pick yourself up again. Reaffirm that choice. We know the things that are not helping us or anybody around us. We've got to start making that choice. If you're ready to make that choice right now on things, stand up. Then I'm going to ask you to make another choice tomorrow. Well, there's one person over there who's willing to make that choice. You know what it is? It's hard. It's fun to be a goof off. It's fun to goof off. You know, we feel like we have all the time of the world. I hope you do. And I'm speaking to myself also. We've got to get a hold of ourselves and get mediocrity out of our life. What I see from where I stand is the little children in this church. They get a lot of the brunt. What I see is the moms and dads that just wish their baby would get off of the retard mill. Let's just get real, because I'm talking not to the person next to you, but I'm talking to you in your life. Let's be real. How much more pain does our little ones need? The people that are pulling for you, when you walk through that door, a constant message will be, I don't care what you think, if you're going to be a Christian, your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the plans and purposes and pursuits of God Almighty. And He paid the highest price. He put His Son on an old rugged cross. So, Father, for everyone that's standing at this moment and everyone that should be, press in, God. I loose your power to convict and to make things real to people and to get the fog out of their mind and the euphoria of sin that only lasts for a little while. And if you would, please, stand with me now. You're the best people. You're hearing the truth. We're paying the price that you might hear the truth here, because it's the best chance we've got. And I'm going to bless you right now. Lift your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, His personality, His presence, His love, and His prosperity and goodness, and be and on you and give you peace and peace because you're making the right decisions. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you.